Veterans Day. If you're a veteran or if you're serving the armed forces, I wish you would stand, please, so that we can recognize you. And Cindy can't stand, but Cindy's there. So all you veterans, would you please stand? Now, remain. Thank you. If you don't mind, veterans, if you'd remain standing, I've got something I want to read that came from Family Life today. It's called Encouraging the Strong. And the verse is 1 Chronicles 12:8. Mighty men of valor, men trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, and whose faces were like the faces of lions. He says, recently I had the distinct honor and privilege of meeting with a high-ranking officer of the Pentagon in Washington. What was planned as a 15-minute appointment turned into more like 45. He told me that two of his sons were currently serving at the same unit in Iraq. A war takes a different face when you talk to dads and moms whose sons and daughters are in harm's way every day. He said he starts his day by reviewing a list of names of the men and women who have died in the battle. We closed our time by praying for this officer and his family. As I prepared to leave after praying with him for his work and the safety of his family, he handed me a pair of bronze medallions. On one side were these four statements that are especially meaningful to soldiers. Mission first. Never accept defeat. Never quit. Never leave a fallen comrade. As he pressed the medallions into my palm, he left me with the instructions to give each one to a soldier who I met during my travels. Tell him not to lose heart and to be courageous. About a month later, I had my first opportunity to accept the commission, placing one of these medallions into the hand of an officer at one of our Weekend to Remember conferences. He was preparing to return to Baghdad for the seventh time. Tears welled in my eyes as I thanked him for his protecting our country and my family and my kids and my grandkids. As you have opportunity, I hope you'll encourage these brave men and women as well. So men, for those of us that have never served, we want you to know how much we appreciate your service and what you've done. And we do not take that for granted. So give me a hand, please. I've absolutely loved the service to this point. I don't know about you, but we're talking about heaven this morning. And our text is in Revelation chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Our time is going by quickly. I hope I can get through all that I have prepared. And heaven is a very emotional thing for me. And I'm sure that it probably is for you as well. And so why don't you stand with me, please, as we're going to read the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 4. This is in heaven. The church has just been raptured. And we are now in the presence of God. The Bible says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast as the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts each had 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chapter in your word, talking about what is taking place in the throne room of God. Lord, I pray that you are on the throne of our hearts, that it would be our desire to give you our very best because you've held nothing back from us. I pray now, as you have met with us in the first part of this service, that you would meet with us here now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the great hymns in our hymn book is Holy, Holy, Holy. Written sometime during the life of Reginald Heber, who only lived to be 43 years old, while preaching in India on a Sunday morning on the evils of the caste system, he suffered a sunstroke and died suddenly. A year after his death, his widow and some of his friends compiled a hymn book of 57 songs that he wrote, and one of those was this song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And then another verse is, Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. And it's obvious he got those inspirations from Revelation chapter 4, from the text that we just read. For you and I that know Christ as our Savior, when we die, or when the rapture of the church takes place, we will go to be with him. It's a guarantee. Through death or life, we will be with our Savior. It's incredible to me that the Bible teaches that there are rewards given in heaven. Seems to me just being there with our friends and loved ones and our Savior will be sufficient. Just not going to hell would satisfy me. Yet, our Bible teaches that God is going to reward us when we get there. There are five crowns that are listed in God's word. They're to be rewarded to the redeemed. We talked last time when we were on this text. Obviously, last Sunday we missed because we didn't have any electricity, but we talked about our works being tested by fire, and they will be. After our works are tested, it seems that the Bible teaches that there will be crowns that will be handed out to folks that are worthy of them. We will take them in the order as they are recorded in the New Testament. The first crown is the incorruptible crown. That is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. If you want to care to turn to it, you can, or I will read it to you. And the Bible says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So there's our incorruptible crown that is mentioned right there. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians is making this comparison that, you know, athletes, they'll try and do tremendous things and do honestly ridiculous things for the mastery of their sport so that they can get a crown that's not going to last. I think a great illustration of that is if you're a football fan, perhaps you've heard of the TB12 method. Tom Brady, number 12 of the New England Patriots, has become famous for his diet and physical regimen. He puts himself through to be playing in playing shape at an age that has become very unusual in the NFL. He's 41 and hoping to play to his mid-40s. Now, for me, 41 sounds pretty young, but I'm not getting hit by guys that are twice my size either, okay? If you just... I'm getting away from my notes here, but when I was going to college in Boston, that was back in the days of the old USFL, and one of the USFL teams practiced in the area, and they'd come in and get some of their service work done, and these men were giants, and the thought of getting around those guys and to think that they're coming after you is... It's incredible to me, and this is the normal life that he lives. And Whether he's able to play into his mid-40s or not, I don't know, but this is what he goes through. His personal chef, Alan Campbell. I mean, I just want to stop for just a second. How many people have a personal chef here? In this? Now, yeah, Al does. It's called his wife. Yes, yeah. But Alan Campbell explains his diet this way. 80% of what he eats is vegetables. If it's not organic, I don't use it. Whole grains, brown rice, Q-U-I-N-O-A. Quinoa. I call it canoa. Okay? That's part of his diet. Millet, beans. The other 20% is lean meats, grass-fed organic steak, duck every now and then, and chicken. As for fish, I mostly cook wild salmon. A typical day for the Tom Brady involves loading up on protein, lots of snacking, eating fish, and drinking smoothies. There's a recipe for avocado ice cream in his TB12 book. He mixes electrolytes in everything he drinks. Don't call TB12 a cookbook, it's a nutritional manual. Some critics believe that his dietary claims are unfounded, and I've got a little video clip that James is going to play for us now to show what it's like to eat on Thanksgiving Day at Tom Brady's table.
This isn't food. You ever got some of like the grass in your mouth by accident? That's what this tastes like.
So basically, I'm grazing right now.
Yep.
I would eat the gravy.
No, it's gross. The gravy's just...
You have to mix it. I don't even know if it's edible.
Man. This is the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth.
If it takes this to be a champion,
I don't want to be a champion.
I don't know if I want to put that type of commitment in.
Water is great, though.
The water was really good.
Now, I don't know those people, but obviously I think they're famous people in their field, but I liked what the big black guy said. I don't know if that's politically correct to say that or not, but he says, if this is what it takes to be a champion, I don't want to be a champion. And I completely understand that. But they do it. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25 says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They're going through all of that so that they can get something that will not last. Say that with me. It will not last. Now I'm going to say something that you won't want to hear. But here goes. We have the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, the keys of hell and of death. We are ambassadors of a country that we are representing for our King Eternal, and at times we have a hard time even getting out of bed. And we've got something that will last. And I think my Bible is calling you and I to something a little bit better than what Tom Brady would do for the New England Patriots. It's time that God's people got energized about the business that we were doing, because we will stand before him someday and give an account. And your excuse of, well, my kids didn't want to go, or I slept in, or whatever that was, you know what? That does not raise champions for Jesus Christ. Just saying. So number one, we will be given an incorruptible crown. Say that with me. An incorruptible crown. It'll last forever. Crown number two in your Bible is the crown of rejoicing. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I don't have that in my notes, so I'm going to turn to that if you want, or you can with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul is talking again, and he says, but we, brethren, being taken from you. Now, he's been separated from some people that he truly loves. I just want to ask, have you ever been separated from someone you truly love? I have. Many of us have. Okay? He said, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, my heart is still for you, endeavored the more abundantly to see you face to face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Boy, we wanted to get back together, but we were never able to. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Let me explain this to you. Paul is saying, listen, My crown of rejoicing is you people, the relationships that I have, and I don't even get to see you anymore, but there's coming a day when there will be a great reunion. We sang glorious day, and obviously that was our call to us, but there'll be a glorious day when we get to see some people that have been taken from us, but in Christ there's going to be a great reunion. And that's our crown of rejoicing, is the idea that we'll get to see those that we've been separated from that we want so much to get back together. And I've, if I can use the word, I have fantasized about this in my mind. And the joy of knowing that I'm going to get to see those that I love so much. And when the rapture takes place, or whenever that final get-together takes place of the reunion of believers in Jesus Christ, it's going to be like something that we've never seen before. For instance, I was talking about, as Scott was singing, Not Holding Back. You and I, when we see someone, there's, if you will, especially Baptists, and I am one, Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I'm gone, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm not apologizing for being one, but the reality of it is we have this way that we have to be because, you know, you don't want to look like a total lunatic. And so you kind of reserve yourself and you're careful about things. But in heaven, there's no sin. There's no reserve. You don't have to worry about what someone's thinking because there'll always be pure motives. You can't go wrong. So when we get to heaven, whatever we are is what we are. I mean, there's no holding back. And there's going to be some rejoicing going on. And that's why when we're talking about the crowns, I'm not sure that every crown is a physical crown. Sometimes you're given gifts that can't be seen. For instance, let me illustrate it to you like this. If you ever had a near-death experience, major heart attack, maybe they had to put the paddles on you and they brought you back. Well, you know what? If you've ever had the paddles put on you, or if you walk around with a pacemaker, or anything that has extended your life, right now, every day is a gift. Isn't that true? Every day you have is a gift. Now, I can't see that gift, but the Bible would record that as a crown. You've got a crown, you've got a gift that you're constantly living right now. I can't see it, but you know about it. Does that make sense? So here we are. I think our crown of rejoicing may not be a physical crown. It'll be that gift of the reunion that we get to be together. So the only one I want to embarrass here is my son. Phil's here this morning. So Phil, come on up here. We're gonna act this out. Okay? So here we go. This will be great. Now, I thought about all of us trying to do this, but it would be impossible. So what's going to happen someday is that we're going to get to heaven, and it's going to be like, let's say Phil has been taken from me, and obviously I think about Lori, obviously, and Ella would think about Glenn, and we could think of other names that are here of loved ones that are gone, and how awesome will it be when, I'm not kidding, just as real as Scott is sitting there, it's going to be as real as seeing them. And there's some ideas that people will say, well, when we get to heaven, we won't know each other. That's pathetic. You know, oh, there's a bunch of zombies there, and I'm glad to see you. I don't know you. I've never seen you before, but wow, this will be great. No, of course we'll know each other. That's going to be part of the reunion, you know? So it's not going to be these faceless things. It's going to be, there's my loved one. So when we get to heaven, I'm going to see, Phil! Oh, my word! I'm going to see you, Phil!
I can't believe it!
I didn't think you would make it, Esther! Oh, Lee!
You know what I mean? Here, I'm embarrassed for you. Sit down there. But there's going to be... And you know I'm not a hugger, but there's going to be no holding back. It's going to be incredible, the rejoicing that will take place. You'll be laughing, you'll be crying, you'll be falling all apart. But the reality of it is when we get to heaven, of course I know Phil's going to make it, he knows Christ, but there's some of us, honest, I think we're going to be a little surprised. All the Pentecostals, they're not coming, I don't think, you know? I hope the competition gets that one. So anyway,
You know, there are people that you and I are stupidly thinking, well, I don't know, But the Lord knows. And I'll tell you, it's got nothing to do with your denominational faith over the door. It's whether you know the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, if you know the Lord, you ought to be showing it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say that with me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Bible says, if you're ashamed of me among men, I'll be ashamed of you of my Father in heaven. Well, that's a bad scene, folks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So anyway, there'll be great rejoicing going on, and I'm looking forward to that. We've got an incorruptible crown. We've got a crown of rejoicing. After that, we have a crown of righteousness in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. My word, time's going fast. I'll get this in, I think. 1 Timothy 4. In verse number 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words. And I'm trying to think. No, I'm thinking maybe I get that wrong. What's 2 Timothy 4 look like? Yeah, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 4. I got that wrong in my notes. Let me fix that right now. So, 2 Timothy 4. There you go. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. But I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, the crown of rejoicing is the crown that we get, or the joy that we have when we see everyone else. Now, the crown of righteousness is the crown that we get when we're not looking for anybody else. We're looking for what Scott just sang about, I want to see Jesus. Now, listen, I will be the first to admit to you that I want to go to heaven for a lot of reasons. Sometimes I just want to go to heaven to get out of this place. Honestly, after the election's on Tuesday, I'm ready to leave, okay? Now, but obviously, a lot of times you and I will go through experiences in life that are just difficult, and we're just thinking, oh, Lord, rescue us. Well, you know what? That's not God's plan, necessarily. God, we need to live out this life that he has called us to. But I want to go to heaven to get out of here at times. And other times, I want to go to heaven when I've missed a loved one. And that crown of rejoicing, when I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones. And I just want to see them. And I can't wait to do that. And so you want to go to heaven for that reason. But obviously, there's a special place in God's heart for those that want to see Jesus. That are in love with God's Son. That I don't care what else there is there, I just want to see my Savior because I know what he's done for me and the quality of life that he's given me, and I just want to fall down on my knees and cry holy. And I don't know what it'll be like, but I'm telling you, I'm thinking we're on our knees. I'm thinking my head's bowed. I'm thinking I am not worthy. I've gone through all the emotions I can think of, and you know, I'm just going to be a crying, bawling pile of mush. And I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm thinking that's how it's, what are you going to say? Really, how in the world, we will be speechless. And yet, the Bible says he wants to see us as bad as we want to see him. That doesn't even make sense to me. You ought to spend some time thinking about that, folks. There's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, Paul says, I fought a good fight. He's talking about a boxer. I've kept the faith. He's talking about a believer. I've run the race. He's talking about an athlete. In every example he can think of, he tries so hard to get the reader to relate to what he's talking about of living the Christian life without reservation, giving it everything that you have. And I won't ask for hands this morning because I couldn't raise it myself, but are you giving Jesus everything you have? I'm afraid that would put us all in great jeopardy to answer that question. But he's looking forward to seeing us. And I want to make sure when I jogged. I didn't run. I jogged. I fought. But that's when I really ran. You know, have you thought about this? Fought a good fight. Paul says, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness to those that love his appearing. So we've got an incorruptible crown, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness. We have a crown of life, and James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, the 10 days is just this. There's a start and an end. There's a time frame for it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. This message was prepared for last Sunday. Obviously, we weren't here. Last Sunday was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Listen to the description of a house church meeting in Iran. You and I do not appreciate the freedom we have in the United States of America. Now you listen to this, what goes on in Iran. Soro is the name of a woman. Soro drew the curtains against the sun in preparation for the evening gathering. The believers arrived a few at a time, knocking quietly on the door before entering the room and slipping off their shoes. Some of the women removed their headscarves before taking a seat on the intricately patterned blue rug, and at the appointed hour, Soro locked the door and placed rolled-up towels at the threshold to block the sound. The door would remain locked for the next hour and a half, no matter who knocked. At the click of the deadbolt, those with Bibles brought them out in the open. The group prayed, read scripture, listened to teaching, celebrated communion, and sang worship songs with muted voices. All the while, other group members stood watched near the windows. As the meeting concluded, the group members left as they came, staggering their departure to avoid drawing attention. After the last guest left, Soro locked the door, and she and her husband, Ali, exhaled with relief. Another successful gathering with no police raid. And that's church. They're not singing Glorious Day and someone holler and shout at, because they can't. Fox News had a story, it would be 16 days ago now, American missionary shot and killed in a targeted attack weeks after moving the family to Cameroon. Charles Wesco moved his family from Indiana 2 weeks ago. He and his wife and 8 children. Show us that picture, James, please. There he is right there. That's his family. He's dead. Shot in the head. There is a crown of life that will be given to those that have lived the persecuted life and possibly died as martyrs for the cause of Christ. And you think, where's God when a dad and 8 kids are left fatherless? And folks, I don't have an answer for that, but I like what someone said, God is the only reason I have a reason. And that's the only thing that makes sense to me. That God is in control, he's got it covered, and his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But I'll tell you what, for all of those heroes that have given their life for the cause of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a special place in heaven for them, and they're going to get a crown of life because of that. And lastly, there's the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 1-4 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Willing workers, shepherds, leaders of the work of God. Now, obviously, commentaries and stuff will tell you that that crown of glory is for pastors and leaders of flocks. And that is probably correct. But I have an idea that that crown of glory is for Sunday school teachers, junior church workers. I think it's for people that are just willing to say, I want to do something for the cause of Christ. And it doesn't have to be a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association meeting. It can be something as simple as meeting with a couple and discipling them and making sure they're growing in the Lord. Something you just love to do for the Lord, and you're looking for something to do for Him because you know what He's done for you. And it's sad to say, the Bible says that we should get ourselves together more often as the day is approaching. And the reality of it is, we're not doing more as time goes on. We are doing less. And we're finding every reason there is to do less because Satan has gotten us so busy that we've got this going and that going. If you've got kids, I'll bet you found that you're just nothing but the chauffeur for your kids going to this athletic event and that athletic event. We're doing this, we're doing that. I'm not picking on you, but I'll tell you what, come Sunday ought to be the Lord's day. It's not a day for you to take someone else to the soccer game or the Little League game or something like that. Sunday is the Lord's day. There ought to be a time in your life where nothing else comes before the things of the Lord. And what has happened, rather than us looking for something we can do for the Lord, we're just trying to fit the Lord in our schedule. Gee whiz, Lord, I'd love to do that for you, but you know what? My calendar is full. What a disaster. Folks, can you realize how that must hurt our Savior when we've got all the time in the world to do all the other things, but the things that will last forever, that incorruptible crown. So the time will come when the Lord's gathering us all together, and I know our time is gone, but this just, I don't have the words for this. And He's going to look at me, and He's going to say, Stan, I have a few things for you. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You've got something for me? And the Bible says, we're going to throw our crowns back at Him. No, Lord, we are unworthy. No, Stan, I want you to take these things. Lord, please, don't give me anything. I am unworthy. You've done it all. I've not done enough. Send me back. Let me try again. Can I go one more time? Can I go back to earth one more time? I'll try better. I'll do more. But our time will be up, and He'll want to say thank you to us. Folks, that's hard to believe. Heavenly Father, heaven would be enough. Not going to hell would be way more than we deserve. And Your Bible teaches that You want to reward us when we get there. And Lord, we are so unworthy in 2018 of any rewards. We love You. We need You. And I pray that we're looking for things that we can do for You. Lord, help us to be busy for the cause of Christ, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. Lord, no one's going to heaven without Jesus Christ. So I hope that everyone in this room has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior.